Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we have been studying the places of the Passion. These are places where Jesus went during that week before he was crucified. They are places that were changed forever because of his presence there. We heard about the upper room where the disciples were arguing about which of them was the greatest. And Jesus changed that conversation into one that reminded them and us that we should be servants. And last week you probably heard about the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus went to pray that night before his crucifixion. He decided that was a place where he would ask God for relief from that cup, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Tonight we go to another place, a place of betrayal. If you think about every time we celebrate communion, we hear that. We hear those words, in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and so on. We're reminded of that betrayal at every communion service. You remember the story of that night. It was still in the Garden of Eden. Jesus has just finished praying and he's come back, and his disciples are once again asleep. And as he's speaking to them, Judas shows up with a crowd of people who have swords and clubs. And Judas walks up to Jesus to give him a kiss. Now, lest you get the wrong impression, this is not a kiss like we think of a romantic kiss between a man and a woman. It's that Middle Eastern thing where you hug somebody on the right side, then on the left, and then back to the right. That's the word that this kiss refers to. But tonight we look at Judas, and it's easy for us to condemn him. We may even do so with some anger in our heart. We're even glad to hear that he committed suicide, and it was a pretty gruesome suicide if we think about it. But then if we think about it, are there others who on this night betrayed Jesus? And at first thought, you might say, no, there weren't anybody else. But let's look at the people who were there. Let's consider the disciples. A disciple is someone who follows his master and does his bidding. Jesus had said to each one of those disciples who were there that evening, come, follow me. And yet on this night, in the garden, these disciples no longer decide to follow Jesus, but they run away, or they try to lead the wrong way. When they saw that Jesus was about to be arrested, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? That's not the way Jesus would have wanted them to handle it. Now, it's true they asked for his guidance, but they didn't follow it. In fact, they didn't even wait for him to answer. Probably before Jesus even had a chance to respond, Peter cuts off the ear of one of the servants of the chief priest. Those disciples, those followers, became transgressors. They violated God's gracious will. And so we have to wonder, were they really disciples? Did they really, really follow Jesus? Their actions would say no. They're not the disciples who follow men, but they took the issue into their own hands. Jesus reminds them that this is not what he wants them to do. He says, shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me? Jesus had already told them that he was going to have to suffer and die. And they knew that. But still, they did the things that they did. And so the disciples really betrayed Jesus as well. And what about the chief priests and the elders? They were supposed to be the people who were the shepherds, the leaders of the children of Israel. They spoke often about the coming Messiah, and yet when he came, they denied him. They came as part of a crowd with swords and clubs. And while they would complain about the Romans and how badly the Romans oppressed them, here are they in the middle of the night oppressing one of their own with those swords and clubs. Here in the darkness of that night, they come to arrest Jesus. Those people who were foreign hostages to a foreign rule now decided to rule differently than God would have them do, in a way that was foreign to God. And so there's a second betrayal. That betrayal belongs to the chief priests and the elders, the leaders, as you know, of the people of Israel. Their weapons betrayed them, their tactics betrayed, their pride and their arrogance betrayed. They were seeking something, they were being something far less than good shepherds to God's people. And then, of course, we know that Judas betrayed Jesus. In spite of being one of the 12 followers, it's Judas who leads that group of people with swords and clubs. The people who come to arrest Jesus. Judas, who was supposed to be a follower, becomes a leader of people who have evil in their hearts. Judas is filled with poison. His kiss is deadly. He approaches Jesus as a disciple to show him honor and respect, to give him that honor and respect with that greeting of a kiss. But this kiss was not one of respect or honor. It was a kiss of betrayal. And as Jesus sees him coming, he says to Judas, "Would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Would you betray me with a greeting of respect?" It was at that point that the kiss Judas gave was the ultimate betrayal of Jesus. And so there's the third betrayer of Jesus that night. While he was supposed to be one of the 12, he was not a disciple, but he was a traitor. Are there any more betrayers that night? Let's think about that a bit. We know the disciples betrayed. We know the chief priests betrayed Jesus. We know that Judas betrayed Jesus. Who might be the fourth people who betrayed Jesus that night? What about us? What about those of us who are gathered here tonight? Don't we on occasion betray Jesus more times than not? Because tonight we hide things in our hearts. It is there that we think we can hide our true feelings about our neighbors. It is there that we hide the secret things in our life that we don't want anybody to know about. It is there that we can harbor anger and resentment that we have toward people that we don't like. It is there in our heart that we think we can safely focus on ourselves and our worldly desires. Yes, we too have betrayed Jesus. We are that fourth betrayer. And yet, that's not the only story that Luke has to tell in this reading. The one person who is betrayed is not the one who does anything else wrong. Jesus also reveals the eternal love of God. As Jesus enters that hour of betrayal, that time of darkness, he turns it into a place of his eternal love. In the midst of all the evil and the deception and the betrayal, one thing remains true. Jesus does his Father's will. Jesus is there to save the world. Jesus never betrays his Father's eternal mission. When his disciples choose to fight, Jesus brings peace. When a slave is injured, Jesus is there to heal. When his enemies come, Jesus willingly submits to their arrest and the suffering that brings us our salvation. With each of those betrayals, Jesus meets the hour of darkness head on, not by running away or not by fighting, but by showing the world God's eternal love. Jesus is indeed God's Son, and though the powers of darkness rise against him, he remains strong and obedient. He is there to show the love of God for his sinful people. The names we refer to Jesus as in this situation are Savior and Healer and Prince of Peace. Jesus is all those things that night in the garden. And he's also all of those things here tonight with us. We've all experienced that power of darkness. You know how easy it can slip up on you. But fear not, for today our Lord comes as our Savior. He offers his love and forgiveness through his word tonight. In the midst of our illness, he comes as our healer. In the midst of our struggle, he brings peace in our lives. Each time that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we hear those words on the night in which he was betrayed. And with that statement, we remember each time the hour of darkness and the betrayals of that night in the garden. But we also remember our hours of darkness that come into our lives as well, times when we have betrayed our God. And yet, no matter how often this hour might come, we find God there to be with us. Each time we begin that service with on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus continues to by saying, take and eat, take and drink. This is for you. Whether that hour of darkness occurs in the garden, or whether at your home, or when you come to that altar, God's love and forgiveness remain forever. In spite of our frequent betrayals, Jesus is a love that always protects. Jesus' love always trusts. Jesus' love always hopes. Jesus' love always perseveres. And in a world of constant change, Jesus' love never fails. Amen.